Chapter 11, Falling for You. Shen Yuan had once watched a SpaceX concept video of the Dragon module on re-entry, suspended in orbit like a pearl until the shuddering, fiery impact of the atmosphere. Falling into the endless abyss felt like that. Unreal. First came the alien sensation of weightlessness, the incomprehensible struggle to accept that this was happening. He was falling, hand in hand with a terror-frozen Luo Bingha, and it was so absurd that he almost laughed. But then the drag started, the taffy pull of gravity drawing him towards impact at ever-accelerating speeds. The wind of passage went from chill to burning heat, from the venting gases below them. Was terminal velocity a thing in a place like this? That bent several laws of physics just short of breaking point. Had they reached it? Did it matter? The reality of it hit when he looked down and saw something other than roiling clouds of darkness. The ground was all ragged cracks of screeching orange magma, jagging through geometric basalt. It was so far down that it looked like an LCD screen. Untouchable and unreal. No, very real. Adrenaline jolted through him, past the shock and sapping lethargy of without a cure. Fuck, he needed to... Bingha! The wind ripped Shen Qingqiu's shout away. He struggled to get to his sleeve, but it flapped wildly above him, like a flattened parachute, and his opposite hand was being crushed by Luo Bingha's death grip. Not that he dared let go. If they separated, they might drift too far apart to catch each other again. If they were going to shatter, wasn't it fitting that they shatter together? There's no dignity before the firing squad, he thought, dragging Luo Bingha closer, close enough to wrap his legs around him like a koala. At least that jarred Luo Bingha out of his PTSD fugue. He shouted something that was probably along the lines of, "What the fuck are you doing, you lecherous creeper?" Ignoring what he couldn't hear, Shen Qingqiu wrenched his hand free from Luo Bingha's and plunged it into his sleeve, hoping the Qiankun bag he'd stashed there the previous night hadn't been ripped away by the wind. His fingers closed on the strings. Rather than risk losing it, he fumbled it open, still inside his sleeve, rooting around and trying not to pay the ground any mind as it drew closer and closer. Parallax took effect, the flat projection propping up into a 3D hellscape, as his hand closed around what he was seeking. He drew the spare spiritual sword from his sleeve and shoved it at Luo Bingha. "Fly!" he shouted, hoping the shape of the command would make sense, even if the wind ripped the sound away. The blaze of spiritual energy that infused the sword was blinding. Even prepared for the jerk of deceleration, Shen Qingqiu's legs slipped. His bile rose as he reached for the chi to give him the strength to hang on, and ran into the wall of without a cure. Torn free, he flipped and spun like falling tissue, until Luo Bingha caught him by the wrist and jerked him close. The punch to his gut would have been enough to make him spew if he had had anything to eat in the past day. Black spots swam in his vision, almost indistinguishable from the clouds of toxic smoke coughed up from the lava vents. One-handed, Luo Bingha dragged himself up to stand on the sword, propping Shen Qingqiu in front of him so he could dry-heave with dignity. Wiping spittle away with his sleeve, he slumped weakly back against the wall of Luo Bingha's chest and gazed out on his doom. "Welcome to the endless abyss," Luo Bingha said. The tremor in his voice took root in Shen Qingqiu's bones. It escaped him in a shaky laugh. "Doesn't seem so bad. Perhaps I'll build a summer home here." He cringed at the reference, a reference only Airplane would get, until an answering laugh ghosted past his cheek. "You can work on your bestiary." Smoothly, the sword slid into motion, carrying them high above the superheated landscape. Shen Qingqiu gripped the arm wrapped around his waist. The surreality of the experience was making him feel faint. Or possibly it was the fumes, or without a cure. He had a whole range of options to blame for the way he clung to the safety of Luo Bingha's hold. "Most of my time here is a blur," Luo Bingha was saying, softly, as though to himself. He'd talked to himself a lot during the Endless Abyss arc, at first, until he stopped. Proud immortal demon Wei loved to dwell on the roughness of his disused voice every time he met some seductive demoness during his ordeal. I'm pretty certain this isn't where I landed before. This is... The Crushing Spirit Lava Flats, obviously. Chapters 460 to 530. Raising a trembling hand to his face, Shenzhenghao tried to block the fumes with his sleeve. If he blacked out here, he'd be entirely at Luo Bingha's mercy. You already are, he thought grimly. At least he still had all his limbs, for now. They flew over a trench of jagged obsidian and pitted basalt. From above, it was impossible to tell where the ground was solid and where it was a thin crust waiting to crack and dump the unwary into a river of lava. Swordless and powers still sealed, the Luo Bingha of Proud Immortal Demon Wei had to test each footstep with a burned and blackened bone. There'd been a lot of close calls and blistered skin. Shenzhenghao coughed, which was a mistake, because his next breath was too deep. It tasted of rotten eggs and left him dizzy. Well, dizzier. They had to find safe ground and breathable air. Thankfully, the trash novel had always made room for pa-pa-pa, and such activities didn't pair well with asphyxiation. The old lava tubes, Shenzhenghao croaked, waving at a white cloud of steam in the distance that cloaked a depression over an underground lake. It would be impossible to see through it once they entered, but at least they'd have breathable air and safest shelter. We'll want to avoid the spider-crawling evil doll colony. But the den of the flame-tailed sandskink should be safe if we can clear it. Do you remember where? Another coughing fit overtook him, and there was no dragging himself out of it. He could only sag in Luo Bingha's arms as the sword flew towards the venting steam. Could only succumb to the darkness at the edge of his vision before they even reached it. Shen Yuan had been in and out of hospitals most of his life, and more than a few times he'd woken in an ICU room with no memory of how he came to be there. His siblings always made certain he didn't wake alone, working out a rotation so that someone would be there holding his hand and ready with explanations and reassurances. So when he dragged himself out of soupy semi-consciousness to the feeling of a warm hand covering his, fingers pressed to his wrist, it was perfectly reasonable to murmur, "Mei Mei." No, the hand was too big, and Dago always ran cold, his fingers like ice. This hand was warm, strong, and calloused, an athlete's hand. He sighed with relief. "Arga. It wasn't spoiled yogurt this time, Xiao Jiji promises. So no lectures about your paleo-keto-gluten-free what's-it diet, okay?" He felt surprisingly good for waking up in the hospital. "Must be giving me the good drugs," he said muzzily, trying to recall what had happened. He'd been pissed off about the Proud Immortal Demon Way drama production announcement, no surprise there. His heart had started acting up, and he couldn't find his medication. Then he'd tripped and hit his head in the system. The system? Oh, fuck. His eyes shot open and he sat up. Too quickly. The world danced and swayed, sending him keeling sideways in a futile attempt to offset its tilt. He collided with the chest of the person holding his hand, the person with two fingers pressed to his wrist, feeding him spiritual energy to stabilize his meridians against the crawling corruption of without a cure. "Luo Bingha?" Shenzhenghao asked, light-headed with the effort to discern dream from hallucination from reality. No, there was no mistaking the hard body he was sprawled against for anything but reality. He tried to sit up again, and Luo Bingha steadied him, the thin trickle of spiritual energy never abating. "I think we need to talk," Luo Bingha said. Sighing, Shenzhenghao said, "Yes, we do." Perhaps predictably, they fell silent. Talking wasn't something they did. Or it was, but only when they were a kindly master and his earnest disciple. But that wasn't who they were anymore. Ha, so confusing. Shenzhenghao turned his face from Luo Bingha, dragging the tatters of his dignity around him. They were in a cave. No, a tunnel, lit by the steady glow of an oil lamp. The lava tube resembled the ones he visited on Jeju Island when his parents were stationed in South Korea. The walls were smooth and rounded, curving up to a pitted ceiling. One end of the tunnel had been blocked by a collapse, the rubble striated with calcite and water stains. The other end was half-blocked with a hulking reptilian body, dead, Shen Qingqiu hoped, of the cave's previous occupant. Luo Bingha's outer robe had been spread out for them to sit on, and the Tiankun bag from Shen Qingqiu's sleeve lay flat nearby. It had been emptied, its contents sorted, three spare swords besides the one he thrust at Luo Bingha, a bow and arrows, a stack of prepared talismans with paper and a stick of cinnabar ink to make more, rations and water gourds, ropes and pythons, skinning knives, bottles and pouches of medicine, rolls of bandages, a few spare robes woven with more protective talismans, and a tightly packed bundle of bedding. An entire cultivator survivalist kit packed into something not much bigger than a Louis Vuitton handbag. And, last of all, resting beside Luo Bingha like he'd been paging through it while Shen Qingqiu was knocked out, was the bestiary he'd spent the last few years compiling. He'd hoped his preparations wouldn't be necessary. He'd worked so hard to keep this from happening, and yet, Luo Bingha had fallen into the endless abyss anyway. In a way, it wasn't even Shen Qingqiu's fault. He'd pushed him out of the way of Elder Qianchui, only to send them both to a worse fate. Some of the bandages had been used, his poisoned hand cleaned and wrapped. At least it seemed Luo Bingha wasn't inclined to tear his limbs off. "Perhaps," Luo Bingha said, on an expelled breath that sounded more tired than vengeful. "You can start by explaining how you know things I barely remember. Things I never spoke of to anyone." Laughing without humor, Shen Qingqiu said, "No, that wouldn't be a good place to start." The Zuiyin on Luo Bingha's brow glowed red between them. For so many years, he'd taken comfort from its absence. Now he had to face that face he'd seen so often in his nightmares. His arms and legs tingled. It was only a casualty of the battle between Without a Cure and Luo Bingha's spiritual energy, but it was hard to remember such things when he was staring down his death from that old life. His breath was coming too fast. He closed his eyes to blot out that face, counted each rise and fall of his breaths until they steadied, opened them again in search of something to ground himself in this place instead of the water prison nightmare. Swords, bandages, talismans, bestiary, dead skink. As steady as he was going to get, Shen Qingqiu said, "Bingha already knows that I'm the same Shen Qingqiu he knew before, the one who was his Shusun in that past life, the past life that Bingha also remembers." The grip on his wrist tightened, and Shen Qingqiu held himself tense, waiting for the moment this all turned from something quiet and soft to the casual cruelty that had festered between them before. But Luo Bingha released a breath, and his grip gentled again. "That doesn't answer how you know things. It doesn't explain why you changed." "I changed because between that life and this life, I lived another one." The surprise surge of qi was almost too much, a pleasure that bordered on pain. Shen Qingqiu's gasp was echoed by Luo Bingha. "Another life? As Shen Qingqiu? I see. And did you tame a different Luo Bingha in that life?" Not certain what Luo Bingha thought he saw, Shen Qingqiu shook his head. "My name was Shen Yuan. The world I was born into is very different from this one. No qi, no cultivation, no demons or yaoguai. My parents were diplomats. I didn't see them often. They traveled a lot. I had two older brothers, a little sister. It wasn't a very exciting life, but after my experiences here, that was a welcome change." His chest ached. He pressed a bandaged fist to it, like the yearning to return was something that might burst free and leave him gutted if he didn't press it down, 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 into the little box of impossible things he didn't let himself dwell on. "How very nice for you," Luo Bingha muttered, bitterness dripping and calcifying to harden his words. It was. Or it would have been, except that I apparently skipped past Meng Po on the way to reincarnation. I remembered everything. I was born an old man who just suffered. He bit the inside of his cheek. Listing the torments he'd suffered at Luo Bingha's hands wouldn't help anything now. I honestly don't know which was worse, being your prisoner, or being a drooling infant in soiled nappies trying to get someone to change them. That was an exaggeration. Of course he knew which was worse. But he'd made that complaint often enough to his Maymay that it took the sting out of the truth. It made her laugh. Luo Bingha did not laugh. He looked away, a muscle in his jaw working like he wanted to say something and couldn't decide on what. I had other challenges to deal with, Shen Qingqiu said to fill the silence. My health was poor. I was weak, even by that world's standards. But that world has healing methods unlike anything here. The doctors kept me on my feet. They helped me work through all the things I should have forgotten. It was a good life until I died. And ended up here. At Shen Qingqiu's nod, Luo Bingha muttered something under his breath. How long? How long were you in that life? I was 22 when I died. It was strange. He'd started to feel like an adult again, a Shen Yuan. But compared to his lives as Shen Qingqiu, it was still so young. He'd wasted so much of his time there. 22 years. Luo Bingha's bitter laugh dragged him from his regrets. So we die at the same time in different worlds, and fate drags us both back into our past. But why? Shen Qingqiu chewed his lip, reluctant to supply an answer. Was this his fault too? If he'd moved on, would Luo Bingha have been granted peace? Maybe he wouldn't have died at all. What if it was Shen Yuan's choice that triggered Luo Bingha's death? Luo Bingha was a creature of vengeance. Would he forgive another wrong against him, even if this time the intentions were good? Before Shen Qingqiu could figure out how to explain, or even if he should, Luo Bingha snagged the bestiary and held it up. If that world had no demons and no cultivation, then how do you explain this? Ah. Why had Shen Qingqiu ever read that trash novel? At least ignorance would have given him plausible deniability. Would you have empathy for Luo Bingha if you hadn't, though? It was a question he didn't want to consider too closely, for fear that the answer was no. Steeling himself, he said, there was a book, Proud Immortal Demon Wei. It followed the trials of a White Lotus protagonist who was horribly abused by his scum villain Shuzun and pushed into an inescapable hellscape, who eventually, well, you know the story better than anyone. My life. Luo Bingha withdrew his spiritual energy, withdrew his hand, but not before Shen Qingqiu felt the tremble in his fingers. For entertainment. He lifted his chin, wishing like anything for his fan. No, wishing he was still Shen Yuan, who didn't care as much about his dignity. Then he could just succumb to the urge to curl up like a pill bug and roll away. Your life, my death. It was a very popular book. But for the people in that world, it was only a story. You knew it wasn't. Luo Bingha's hands were balled into fists so tight Shen Qingqiu half expected to hear bones cracking. And you read it anyway? Was it fun seeing what I had to go through? Were you entertained? You think I took enjoyment out of reading it? Shen Qingqiu hissed. Guilt, yes. Pride, sometimes, when a skill learned during his time on Qingjing Peak saved Luo Bingha from some danger in the abyss. Anger? Yes. At seeing the petty tyrant Luo Bingha turned into when he could have been so much greater. Anger at himself for turning Luo Bingha into that. The fight drained out of him. What right did he have to be angry at Luo Bingha's reaction? Wouldn't he be furious if someone read about his life, all his failures and struggles. Hadn't he been furious when he first realized what proud immortal demon Wei was? Then why? I don't know, he snapped. Mei Mei had told him not to. His therapist, who gamely accepted his need to frame his trauma in fantasy terms, advised against it. It was an objectively terrible decision, and an even more objectively terrible book. The writing florid, and the pa-pa-pa scenes rote and uninspired. And yet, Shen Yuan had devoured each chapter as soon as it was released, paid for premium content, bought merch, sometimes even unironically. His fucking phone case had been Demon Emperor Luo Bingha. Peerless Cucumber was among the top commenters and most famous anti-fans. I'm glad I did, though, he said, ripping the truth out and laying it before Luo Bingha like it was his tongue. It forced me to reflect on the harm I'd done to you, to confront why I treated you so poorly. It made me see how the hurts I inflicted on you never healed, so that when I was given a second chance, I resolved to do better. Because you were afraid of me. Luo Bingha's voice rasped with emotion. Of what I would do to you, to them. Looking at him, this face from his nightmares for three lifetimes, Shen Xingqiu forced his own voice steady. I was afraid, but that's not why. The tunnel was filled with sound, the trickle of water down the rubble blockage, the susurrous whisper of wind over stone, weird and distant echoes that could be rocks falling or footsteps or something more sinister. None of it cracked the fragile silence that fell between Shen Xingqiu and Luo Bingha. Until Bingha set the bestiary aside and rose to his feet, plucking up the skinning knife from the sprawl of the Tiankun bag contents, he said, The longer we stay here, the less safe this place will be. I'll skin and dress the skink. You should rest. It was so abrupt, and yet it still felt like a reprieve. The tension singing through Shen Xingqiu drained away, leaving him feeling limp and lightheaded. He pushed through it to pack up the contents of the Tiankun bag in case they needed to flee quickly. Then he lay back on Luo Bingha's outer robe, surrounded by the scents of cinnamon and smoke, and stared at the peaks and dips of shadow in the pockmarked tunnel ceiling until his eyes grew heavy and sleep dragged him under. We need a plan for how to escape the abyss, Shen Xingqiu said, studying the cobbled-together map he'd tucked between the pages of the bestiary, cribbed from Luo Bingha's linear progression through the narrative and the best of Shen Yuan's gremlin memory. It was half landmarks and other half question marks. It was enough to make any topographer spit blood, but it was better than nothing. Bent over the ashes of a fire he'd used to cure the skink hide and smoke the meat, Luo Bingha's face was hidden, but his body tensed bowstring tight. He continued to wrap skink jerky and stuff it into the already overloaded Tiankun bag. We're going to get Xinmo, of course, he said. It was foolish to test the tension behind those words. Any moment, the thread that held this alliance of theirs together might break. Xinmo was enough to cut right through it. Is that necessary? Shen Xingqiu asked. Bingha's seal has already been opened. He no longer needs Xinmo to... Do you know another way out of the endless abyss? Luo Bingha snapped, rounding on him. His hair was down now, no longer in the high tail of his disciple days. It cast his face in shadow. His eyes flashed red from the depths, a reflection of embers or his sigil or just his nature. Did that book of yours tell you some secret path to escape? Smoothing over like ice in the face of that heat, Shen Xingqiu let the anger slide off him. He tucked the map into the bestiary and the notes he'd started to make now that he had a starting point to work from. He'd waded through thousands of forum discussions on tactics for fighting the monsters of Proud Immortal Demon Wei, hundreds of armchair analyses from posers who thought they could make their way through the endless abyss more quickly and easily than Luo Bingha. There had to be some way in or out. Or how did demons move so easily between the worlds? How did hapless humans come to be trapped and devoured there? But all his knowledge and speculation was useless. The only way he knew to escape the endless abyss alive was to master Seenwolf, or succumb to it. "No," he said. "Then I'll reclaim Seenwolf." Arms crossing like a petulant child, Luovinca sneered. "The upstanding Silya's sword is welcome to disapprove." Shen Xingqiu pinched his brow. This was the Luovinca that annoyed him the most, the brat who met the world with mockery before it could degrade him. A fine tremble started in his hand, and he smoothed back his hair. Without a cure shuddered through him with every beat of his pulse. He tucked his hand in his sleeve before Luovinca could notice. "This master has spent the past few years endeavoring to help Luovinca improve his mental state. I'm not eager to see all that undone," Shen Qingqiu said, frustration making him snippy. Luovinca curled in on himself, and Shen Qingqiu saw shades of both child and man, the white sheep and the black lotus. But despite their differences, their history, this Luovinca hadn't been corrupted by Seenwolf. He was open to reconciliation. He was capable of forgiveness. "That sword is not good for you," Shen Qingqiu said softly. Arms falling to his sides, Luovinca sat heavily beside Shen Qingqiu. The light fell on his face, revealing what had been hidden by the shadow and belligerence. A troubled frown and pensive furrow to his brow. "I know. I suppose that book of yours told you how I died." It hadn't even occurred to Shen Qingqiu to wonder, but now that Luovinca mentioned it, what in this world was powerful enough to kill him? And how had he managed to be reborn instead of losing his soul to the endless hunger of his sword? "No. The story was never finished. I think something happened to the author before he could post the final chapters." "Ha, think. Airplane shooting towards the sky admitted he'd electrocuted himself on faulty wiring before he could complete his magnum opus. But Shang Qinghua had released Shen Qingqiu from his bonds to help him escape Luobingha's camp. The least Shen Qingqiu could do was cover for him." "Good." Luobingha's cruel little smile confirmed Shen Qingqiu's resolve to take that secret to his grave. "What happened?" he asked. "It was one of my wives. I'm not even sure which one. They all blended together after a while." He picked up the bestiary from where Shen Qingqiu had dropped it, paging through a past that, by his admission, had also blended together. How much of Luobingha's life had become a gray wasteland of things he wanted to forget? "She used a soul-searing dagger. I could have fought it, but I didn't. It burned through me before Seenwolf could claim any part. I'm not even certain that old soul of mine exists anymore. It's more likely that when my soul was burned away, my memories took root in another world's younger version of myself." It was the sort of metaphysics that Shen Yuan would have loved to read in a story. In reality, it just made his brain hurt. And his heart. For the soul of a younger Luobingha that had been burdened with such memories, and the soul of the original Luobingha, a wildfire that eventually burned itself out. Tucking the bestiary away in the Tiankun bag, Luobingha glanced warily at Shen Qingqiu. Whatever he saw, or didn't see, in his expression, made Luobingha huff with dark amusement. "Perhaps it's for the best that the story never completed. I can't imagine anyone enjoying such a pathetic ending. I just let it happen, because it seemed better than the alternative." Better than being devoured by Seenwolf, or better than continuing to live. "Bingha." Shen Qingqiu drew his hand from his sleeve, leaning closer to, what, comfort him? But pain surged through him as he shifted, and a wave of numbness followed. He sank into it like a drowning man giving up his struggle for the shore. Luobingha caught him as he sagged to one side. Instead of rocks and dust, his shoulder hit warm skin and the mingled scents of blood, smoke, and ashes. In his heart, Shen Qingqiu tried to pull away. His limbs would not obey him. "Without a cure." Luobingha's fingers strayed to his wrist, taking his answer from sensing Cho's pulse as well as his nod. A thin thread of spiritual energy trickled up his meridians, as soothing as ice on a burn. As the pain receded, Shenting Cho became aware of the heartbeat just under his cheek, of the matched rise and fall of his and Luo Bingha's breathing. He struggled to pull away. It was too easy to forget that this wasn't the boy he'd grown to care for, or not only him. That boy was also the demon emperor who'd torn off his limbs, killed his colleagues, destroyed his sect. And he was the boy Shenting Cho had hurt, had pushed into the endless abyss to live or die by his demon blood. This time, when he was pushed, Luo Bingha let him go. All except the fingers circling his wrist, still feeding him energy.
"Why are you doing this?"
Shenting Cho asked, doing his best to hide the shaking in his voice despite the rapid quick pulse Luo Bingha could no doubt feel under his fingers.
"You don't need me to find Xin Mo, and you have a better chance of escaping this place without me."
"I'd rather not take 5 years to do it this time."
Luo Bingha's murmur was rich with something Shenting Cho would swear was wry humor, if he didn't know better.
"If that means making use of you, then so be it."
"That is my point. Like this, I'm hardly useful."
Shenting Cho wanted to snatch his wrist out of Luo Bingha's grip, to rub away the tingles that were coursing up his arm and settling in other places. He'd never felt an energy transfer so thoroughly through his meridians. Maybe it had something to do with Luo Bingha's mixed heritage?
"If you waste spiritual power on me, you're only weakening yourself."
Luo Bingha's grip tightened, the energy surging enough to make Shenting Cho gasp as the tingling became a rush of sensation.
"Do you want to be left behind?"
He'd never wanted to be left behind, but he also recognized the necessity of it. Chiga's chances were better without him all those years ago, and now Luo Bingha's.
"I'm only being sensible. One of us has to be."
His irritation only grew when Luo Bingha met his sharp words with a cruel little smile.
"If you're looking for a sensible solution, there is another way. You read the book so thoroughly, surely you know the name of this poison isn't accurate."
That smile put Shenting Cho more on edge than all the memories of the torments he'd suffered at Luo Bingha's hands. Those seemed like a distant dream. This was real.
"Eh?"
he asked.
"Without a cure?"
The thumb on his wrist circled in a distracting caress.
"Has a cure."
Understanding slammed into Shenting Cho, would have knocked him to the ground if he wasn't half-draped over Luo Bingha's lap. Something akin to fear rushed through him, whisking his stomach and good sense away. Joking, he had to be. But the smile and that softly circling thumb suggested otherwise. Without a cure has a cure. Yes, Shenting Cho had skimmed past that chapter once he realized that the cure was the same thing it always seemed to be. And now Luo Bingha was suggesting,
"Absolutely not!"
he screeched, ripping his wrist out of Luo Bingha's grip and scuttling back, off the thin padding of Luo Bingha's outer robe and through the dust. Jagged rocks scraped his palms and dug into his ass. He had to be mistaken. Luo Bingha would never...
Shenting Cho would never...
A glower darkened those handsome features, until the only light was the sullen glow of the Zeyin and the gleam of Luo Bingha's teeth as his lip curled.
"Ah, my mistake. Of course the pure and proud Shuya sword wouldn't let a demon sully him, even if it meant saving his life."
That's not why,"
Shenting Cho sputtered. He couldn't believe he was having this conversation. Was Luo Bingha actually offended?
"No."
Shifting to hands and knees, Luo Bingha crawled after him, until Shenting Cho was back to the tunnel wall with Luo Bingha half-straddling his legs.
"Isn't it because you consider me nothing more than a beast?"
"No."
Setting a foot against Luo Bingha's chest to keep him from crawling right on top of him, Shenting Cho shouted,
"It's because I consider you my student!"
A flicker of astonishment was enough to lift the malevolent veil of the demon emperor and leave something more resembling that white lotus disciple blinking down at him.
Shuzun.
The scrape and rumble of shifting rocks crashed through the chamber, followed by chittering and the ticking of many, many legs on stone. They both froze as the protective wall of rubble collapsed, and the lamplight caught the gleam of many eyes. It seemed the other denizens of the lava tubes had realized the dreaded flame-tailed sand skink was dead. This time, when Luobingha's lips curved, it was with a rueful smile instead of a sneer.
"Spider-crawling evil dolls," he asked, as he rose from his crouch and drew the spare spirit sword Shenxingqiu had given him.
"You're the one who named them that," Shenxingqiu grumbled. After a while in the endless abyss, Luobingha had stopped finding creative names for the things he fought and just focused on surviving them. Everyone else in Proud Immortal Demon Way fandom had called out airplane shooting towards the sky as a lazy hack. Only Shen Yuan had known the truth. In the face of survival, creativity was the first thing to die.
"Don't let them wail, or it's goodbye to our eardrums," Shenxingqiu reminded Luobingha as he regained his feet, supporting himself with a hand on the cave wall.
The spiritual energy had beaten back the effects of Without a Cure, but he still felt a little wobbly. He dug through the Tiankun bag. He had to have something that would let him be useful. Silencing talismans. They used them all the time in the bamboo house. He drew out one and managed to dredge up enough of his sluggish spiritual energy to activate it. The first evil doll to come crawling through the hole in the rubble was met with a talisman smack right between her 8 beady eyes. Luobingha's laughter was silenced alongside the doll's wail, but a glint of it remained in his smile as he cleaved into the oncoming flood. The interlude in the lava tubes proved to be their only reprieve for a long time. At least Shenxingqiu was able to repurpose the porcelain face from one of the evil dolls into a filtration mask to ward off the toxic fumes on the surface, or he might have been trapped there forever. Not Luobingha, of course. With his seal unlocked, his demon blood was more than enough to keep him from dying from a little carbon monoxide poisoning. The crushing spirit lava flats were the most obnoxious kind of zone, all environmental hazards broken by the occasional swarm designed to pin you down while your health meter slowly depleted.
"Forgive this disciple's stupidity," Luobingha said, "but could Shuzun explain what that means?"
"Fuck," Shenxingqiu huffed, his trapped breath hot and moist inside the protective mask. It blocked his air, but couldn't block his grumbling to himself.
"It's only nonsense. Bingha shouldn't pay it any mind."
Grinning, Luobingha asked slyly,
"In that case, what is fuck?"
Luobingha got an extensive education in Shenxingqiu's more colorful vocabulary as they slogged out of the crushing spirit lava flats and into the ghost lantern marsh. The two zones stitched together like some kind of Frankenstein quilt of awfulness. Shenxingqiu wanted to keep the mask to ward off the stench of bloated bodies and decaying vegetation, but the humidity drove him to abandon it before he drowned in his own sweat. He continued to be dead weight on their journey, Without a Cure was apt to flare up at the most inconvenient moments, and every monster they encountered immediately marked him as the weaker target. Luobingha was constantly beating away things that wanted a taste of him. The miasma of demonic energy didn't help either. Well, it helped Luobingha, but it sapped what little strength Shenxingqiu had, leaving him feeling like he was back in his old body, heart beating like a bird's, and every breath kept shallow to avoid a coughing fit. As the days, weeks, surely not more than that, passed, he became more short-tempered, which made him withdrawn and quiet, because any word that escaped him was liable to be honed sharp and callously cruel. Luobingha didn't deserve to be lashed out at just because he was mowing through everything that strayed into their path, while Shenxingqiu stood by feeling snippy and useless. Mostly useless. He did prove he had some value when he found a stand of lemongrass and repurposed a spirit-attracting talisman to extract oil from a wide swath of the fen.
The scent of citronella-infused oil burning in their lamp was much more pleasant than the stench of the marsh, and not having to deal with the constant swarms of mosquitoes and midges was a true blessing. Luo Binghe started making harvest detours any time he caught a whiff of lemongrass in the air. The marsh gave way to a grassy savanna that looked deceptively pleasant after the past two zones. Deceptive because Shen Qingqiu's map and memory said this was where some of the hardest boss monsters made their homes. Nothing that could survive elsewhere chose to live in lava or marshland. The shimmering grass blade plain, however, was prime real estate. Only the fittest survived. Dead, tired, and dragging, they skirted the edge of the plain to a spot marked on Shen Qingqiu's map. Finally, Shen Qingqiu managed to be of use, defeating a lapis-shelled sphinx beetle by answering every riddle she threw at him until she was sobbing great lapis tears and begging him to stop. He even got them into the oasis she guarded, an oasis that had been battle-torn the first time around because Luo Binghe had no patience for her games. By teaching her new riddles to replace the ones that were older than dirt. The oasis was quiet, saw blade palms sheltering it from the awfulness on every side. An emerald pool spread out across it, the surface mirror smooth, save where lush ferns dipped their fronds into the water. The scents of sweet moss and jasmine lingered in the air, and even the miasma of demonic energy was stifled. It was lovely. If you ignored the piles of bones covering the Sphinx's burrow, the remnants of people who hadn't spent an entire lifetime preparing for the possibility of getting challenged to a riddle contest. What? It was clearly preparation that had paid off. Once they'd set wards to ensure they wouldn't be surprised, they began to make camp to rest and prepare for the journey across the plains. Well, Luo Binghe made camp. Shen Qingqiu conked the fuck out. He woke some time later, tucked warm and cozy into bedding that smelled fresh washed instead of stinking like sweat and mold and rotting eggs. Luo Binghe had chanced a fire and was cooking something in a pot made from a tortoise shell. The citronella lamp burned nearby, its little light a tiny star compared to the campfire's sun. At this point, the smell alone was enough to lift Shen Qingqiu's spirits, this small comfort in a hellish existence. "Food won't be ready for a while. The spare robes are washed and drying," Luo Binghe said. He was clean of soot and blood, his hair half dried in a wild tangle about his head, and his robes smelled like the bedding that Shen Qingqiu was currently stinking up again. It was all the prodding Shen Qingqiu needed to take himself to the far side of the oasis to wash his own hair and robes and body. He risked a bit of spiritual energy to dry everything, and was almost feeling like his old self again by the time he joined Luo Binghe for their first hot meal since their fall. "Is Shen Qingqiu certain the labyrinth where Xin Mo rests is on the far side of these plains?" Luo Binghe asked, when they'd scraped their bowls clean and Shen Qingqiu was seriously considering licking his. The question saved him from such an embarrassing lapse in etiquette. Ah, the book really hadn't lied about Luo Binghe's culinary skills. Even working with nothing but skink jerky and lemongrass and wild ferns, Luo Binghe had managed a Michelin-star meal. "As certain as I can be," Shen Qingqiu said, finger-combing through his hair before sectioning it for plating. In proud immortal demon way, Luo Binghe had arrived at the labyrinth from another direction, after a Lord of the Rings ripoff run through the Mines of Moria, Mountain Caves of Morian. But there had been hints during the Shimmering Grassblade Plains chapters of a labyrinth that imprisoned a great evil. It was possible there were two labyrinths in the Endless Abyss, but given that Luo Binghe had avoided the labyrinth and ended up grinding for 3 more years as a result, dramatic irony suggested that it was more likely he'd bypassed his one and only chance of escape. Not that Shen Qingqiu was going to share that reasoning. Luo Binghe got tetchy whenever the source of Shen Qingqiu's knowledge came up. Tying off his hair with a frayed remnant of a ribbon, he said, "We should discuss what will happen when we find it." Luo Binghe was struggling to section his own hair, an impossible task with all the tangles. "Shizun needn't worry. Most of my time here is a blur, but I remember the labyrinth well enough to get through it." As well he should. He'd learned the secret key to the labyrinth from the virgin caretaker after freeing her from her duties with several vigorous rounds of pa-pa-pa. Wincing at the sound of hair ripping, Shinsengcho made an exasperated noise. "Stop that before you go bald. Come here." He rose to his knees, slapping the ground in front of him. Wary as a kicked dog, Luo Bingha crawled around their campfire and sat with his back to Shinsengcho. Lamp oil wasn't the best detangler, but the citronella infusion gave it a nice scent. Shinsengcho started from the bottom, working through weeks of growing rat's nests with only his fingers. "I should have packed a comb or two in the bag. It didn't occur to me that it might be necessary." The book had always dwelled on Luo Bingha's mussed hair as though it was a charming thing, not this knotted mess. Luo Bingha's shoulders dropped, the tension in his spine eased. "Shuzun has been irritated by the state of this disciple's hair for how long now, and he didn't think it was necessary." "Exactly. This master has been the one to care for it. What reason does he have to think Bingha could use a comb himself?" He flicked Luo Bingha's ear in reprimand for his insolence, then froze, oily fingers deep in the tangles as he remembered this wasn't his unruly disciple. Flicking ears, why not just go out and look for tigers to poke? "Only Shuzun has the patience to do it right." Luo Bingha bumped his head back against Shenqingqiu's chest, a silent demand for him to continue. So, he did. Questioning the strange shift in their dynamic would only mean they'd have to talk about it. A conversation Shenqingqiu was as happy to avoid as Luo Bingha seemed to be. Besides, they had other difficult topics to address. "When I said we needed to discuss what to do, I meant the effect Simul will have on Bingha." "Ah." A tug from Shinsengcho. Luo Bingha tilted his head back so he could reach the crown. "Matters are different this time. This one knows Simul's effects and how to mitigate them, how to resist them, and my seal is already broken. My demonic and spiritual cultivation are already integrated, and they're both stronger than last time. Possibly even stronger than they were at the end of my life, thanks to Shuzun's care." In the past, Luo Bingha had always spoken those words with a mocking lilt. Shuzun's care. Shuzun's care. But this time they sounded almost fond. Shinsengcho glanced up from a particularly knotty tangle to find Luo Bingha watching him from upside down. His lips parted, and Shinsengcho's fingers tightened in fear of what he might say next. But instead of words, Luo Bingha let out a punched-out groan. Sorry, that was unintentional," Shinsengcho said, loosening his strangle grip on Luo Bingha's hair. "Xinmu, they needed to focus on Xinmu. There must be a way to nerf it." "Nerf?" Luo Bingha asked, sounding oddly breathless. Desperate for the distraction, Shinsengcho relented to his curiosity and finally explained the nonsense grumbles he'd been dismissing throughout their journey. Or he tried. But it turned out that MMO mechanics and the frustration that came from having your perfectly maximized build utterly destroyed in the ever-impossible developer quest for game balance was not a universal experience. Shinsengcho finally gave up as he finished plaiting Luo Bingha's hair. Lacking a ribbon, he pulled the one from his own plate. He gave Luo Bingha's head a final pat before shifting to the side with a groan. Kneeling on the ground for so long was not among his brighter ideas. Luo Bingha toyed with the end of his hair, curling the ribbon around his finger. "Shuzun has said that his other world was dull and uninteresting, but the more he describes it, the stranger and more fascinating it sounds." "I didn't say it was dull and uninteresting. I said I was. I needed to be careful of my health, and after..." Shinsengcho stared at the fire, shifting and hypnotic. Arga had called it the original video game. It was easier than looking at Luo Bingha, his disciple robe stained gray from soot and rust from blood. Colors deepened to black and red in the dancing campfire light. "After what you did to me..." "I prefer to live a quiet life and avoid conflict, although..." He turned his head so Luo Bingha wouldn't catch his rueful grimace. If he knew he'd be down here, he would have packed a few extra fans in addition to combs. Luo Bingha leaned closer to examine Shenqing Qiu's expression in the firelight.
Did Shuzun seek out trouble?
When do I seek out trouble? Trouble comes looking for me. He pushed Luo Bingha's face away, felt a grin against his palm. Wiping away the tingle on his knee, he said, Argo once decided that what I needed to get better was more physical activity, so he dragged me to our university's Wudong Sword Club, just to observe, he said. But pretty soon he bullied me into gear in the sparring ring.
Did Shuya's sword enjoy showing off?
Laughter lurked under Luo Bingha's question. Shenqing Qiu fought to keep his expression cool. Yes, he had. I beat him 10 times straight before the instructor came over to observe the new prodigy. I beat him 4 times.
Only 4.
Why was he telling this story? As though Luo Bingha hadn't already seen how Shenqing Qiu struggled against without a cure and the miasma of demonic energy. He gazed off into the darkness, face turned from those curious dark eyes. I collapsed and had to be taken to the hospital. Dago was so furious he put a freeze on Argo's bank accounts. My parents came home. They only ever did when Shen Yuan had an episode bad enough to put him in the hospital. Probably they'd come home for his funeral. Mei Mei was the only one who didn't blame Arga. She was furious with me for pushing myself like that when I knew what would happen. Shenqing Qiu blinked against the smoke that was irritating his eyes. For all that her voice lived the strongest in his head, she was the hardest for him to think of. Every memory was etched with a jagged pain of loss. She was the only one who knew about me. About all this. She would tell me, Sangha, that's not you anymore.
She sounds kind.
Not always. She'd beat you bloody for what you did to me. Shenqing Qiu froze like a rabbit the moment the word slipped out, wary gaze going to gauge Luo Bingha's reaction. Ever since their conversation in the lava tubes, they'd talked around those final years like they were an open wound. Firelight flickered red in Luo Bingha's eyes. Shenqing Qiu was the one to blink first. Snatching a stick from the pile of kindling, he poked at the fire. Sparks rose to dance in the shadowed sky in the place of the absent stars. She was most likely the one to find my body. I wish I could have spared her that. A hand closed over his, startling him. But Luo Bingha only prized the stick from him and rubbed a thumb over the red moons he dug into his palms.
Shizun must have hated it, being forced to return to this life, fearing what was to come. Yet, somehow he still managed to be kind, even on that first day.
The brush of Luo Bingha's touch was unexpected. The curious softness in his tone was downright confusing. Which was perhaps why Shenqing Qiu admitted.
It wasn't as difficult as Luo Bingha imagines. I wasn't forced. It wasn't unexpected. I chose to return to this life.
Luo Bingha's thumb stilled in the center of Shenqing Qiu's palm.
What?
He asked in a strangled whisper.
I was supposed to come back before your arrival at Qingjing Peak.
Shenqing Qiu was still peeved about that implementation bug.
And I didn't know it would be you, you. But when I died, I was offered a choice. I could drink Meng Po's soup and move on. Or I could come back and fix my mistakes. Why would you choose this life again?
If Shenqing Qiu couldn't communicate how MMO mechanics worked, then he didn't even want to try explaining quantum mechanics. Luo Bingha might come out of this thinking a cat had actually died in the process.
Because if I moved on, then isn't it the same as letting it happen? I didn't want to make my Mei Mei a liar. That's not me anymore.
Extricating his hand, Shenqing Qiu rose. He hesitated briefly before giving in to the urge to pat Luo Bingha's head. After all, if he wasn't that old sensing so, then wasn't it only fair to allow that this might not be that old Luo Bingha anymore? Bingha should sleep. This master can keep watch for a while, he said, leaving Luo Bingha to the fire and his thoughts. The shimmering grass blade plain lacked much in the way of leaves, but spiritual energy fed into the long cutting grasses turned them into a deadly net of razor wire. Shen Tingqiu discovered that he could easily entangle mobs while Luo Bingha took down the boss. He was finally useful. He was totally ranged crowd control to Luo Bingha's tanky DPS. When he'd smugly crowed his triumph the first time he'd used the tactic, Luo Bingha had just cast him a bemused smile and got down to killing the school of snake-maned lion koi that had been foolish enough to pounce on them. By the time they made it halfway across the plain, it had become their go-to tactic. It kept Luo Bingha from being overwhelmed by mobs, which was the only time he tended to get injured, and it kept Shen Tingqiu safely out of the melee, which was when he was most likely to get chomped. He started feeling useful in other ways, mostly by remembering tiny details and coming up with successful strategies against the creatures they faced. The rose-spotted hypno-yinas they were fighting now had been one of Shen Tingqiu's favorite creatures in the Endless Abyss, when he'd been reading about them. A silencing talisman dealt with a cackling mockery of their laughter, so it wouldn't plunge Luo Bingha and Shen Tingqiu into giggling fits. Sheer veils made from their spare bandages blurred the shimmer from the hypno-yina's coats, so they didn't become entranced by the dance of rosy spots over shifting fur. It left them fighting deaf and half-blind against a pack of cunning cooperative hunters. In Luo Bingha's first run, it had been almost fatal. Now it was just annoying. Shen Tingqiu locked down the pack while Luo Bingha faced off against the hypno-yina queen. Once she was dead, her pack would slink away, assuming they survived. The more they struggled against the threads of shimmering gold holding them down, the deeper those strands cut. Shen Tingqiu extended his spiritual energy to snare a few more that were circling behind Luo Bingha, stepping up onto a small hillock to get a better view of the trampled arena. His ankle wrenched painfully as his foot sank into the divot of some small burrowing creature. He stumbled to his knees with a cry that was silenced by the talisman. Between his blindfold and the height of the grass, he lost sight of Luo Bingha. He quashed a surge of panic. He didn't need to see to control the grass. He could worry about his throbbing ankle once Luo Bingha had finished off the pack. Then the dull throbbing was cut by piercing agony. Screaming silent, Shen Tingqiu kicked out blindly. A long body with dusty brown fur was flung through the air, the angry creature whose burrow he'd just trampled. Too late, Shen Tingqiu recognized it. A lightning-fanged meerkat viper. He'd been so excited by the hypno-yinas that he'd forgotten this little power-up that gave Luo Bingha the demonic juice he needed to defeat them the first time. But a power-up for Luo Bingha was a pain for Shen Tingqiu. The agony in his ankle surged through him, the venom drawing in demonic energy like the buildup of a static charge. It coursed through his meridians, an electric current with no way to ground itself. He lost control of the grasses. Fuck, he barely kept control of his bladder. As his body seized and jerked, spine arching and curling so hard he wondered if it would snap. He shredded his throat with screaming, all of it silent, until he blessedly blacked out. At least when he woke this time, Shen Tingqiu didn't mistake where he was. How could he, when his entire body felt like it had been pounded with a mallet and tossed on a grill? The remnants of demonic energy sizzled through him, lightning to without a cure's acidic seepage. Luo Bingha cradled his hand again. But there was no spiritual energy this time. Of course not. It would only exacerbate the venomous demonic energy coursing through him. Opening his eyes was agony all on its own, but he did it anyways, only to look away the moment Luo Bingha noticed. He'd been propped up against the wall of a high-arched chamber of gnarled and twisted roots, the citrus scent of their lamp cutting through the wet, wormy smell of blood-soaked earth. They'd made it to their next safe spot, then. The squid-vined cannibal banyan, A plagiarized love child between the Sarlacc pit and the Whomping Willow, the Banyan used its prehensile lianas to snare anything that approached, dragging the victim up into its branches to be slowly digested over 1,000 years. But the tangled root system was safely out of the tree's awareness and lianas' reach. Apparently, Luobingha had managed to drag an unconscious Sentingto past both. More proof that he was almost literally dead weight. "I hate this place," Sentingto groaned, slumping forward to hide his face against Luobingha's shoulder. He'd known he wasn't strong enough to face the endless abyss. That even unafflicted by without a cure, he would have been dead if he'd fallen into it alone. This wasn't the sort of place that humans, not even immortal masters with a walkthrough guide of tips and cheats, were meant to survive. The endless abyss made insanity mode look like a tutorial. But he'd just been taken out by a fucking meerkat, the cutest, most harmless creature in the entire endless abyss. He could never show his face to Luobingha again. He was going to live stapled to his shoulder. Luobingha would just have to learn how to rule the demon realm with a Sentingto-sized carbuncle. At least it would be harder to lose Luobingha than it was to lose a fan. That was a plus. A large hand smoothed down his hair. In only a few weeks, months, Luobingha had filled out to his old proportions. Still lean, but taller and broader in the shoulders. Even his voice seemed deeper. It should have been intimidating, terrifying, this step closer to the nightmare of the past. But Sentingto was trapped in a world of nightmares now. Luobingha was the only one that made him feel safe. A conundrum he happily shut away to think about never. "This one apologizes for the accommodations," Luobingha said, the stroke of his hand and the rumble of his voice wrapping Sentingto in a cocoon of comfort. The tree was the closest safe spot on Shuzun's map. "Not here, here," Sentingto mumbled into the cinnamon smoke pillow that was his new permanent resting place. He waved a blind hand at the world beyond their refuge. "Here." "Ah, here, of course." And now Luobingha was laughing at him. Sentingto swatted him weakly in reprimand. Such disrespect. But Luobingha only caught his hand and curled it against his chest. Sentingto did his best to ignore how they were all but hugging. His therapist had always said he excelled at compartmentalizing, though she hadn't quite meant it as a compliment. "Bingha is the only good thing here," he said. The stroking hand stilled on the back of his head, keeping him from pulling away in embarrassment. Ah, how could he have said such a thing, even hidden in the folds of Luobingha's sleeve? "Not true," Luobingha murmured. "Ah? Shuzun is also here." "Ah." A wash of tingles poured like water from the crown of his head. He shivered. It was oddly pleasant, nothing like the numbness of without a cure or the electric hum of demonic energy rising in him like a slow and inevitable storm. Embarrassment crept through the cracks of his shamelessness. He pulled away from Luobingha, every muscle twitching with the effort. Sagging into the wall's support, Sentingto closed his eyes and waited for the surge to ebb. He wet his lips, dry and cracked. Even his tongue hurt. He must have bitten it during his seizure. He'd been fooling himself, but it was time to stop. "I think Mei Mei would be very angry with me," he said. Why hadn't he done this at the Oasis? It was relatively pleasant there. The Sphinx Beetle liked him enough that she probably wouldn't eat him. "For pushing past my limit. I said at the start that it was pointless." The grip on his hand tightened. It probably would have hurt if Sentingto didn't already ache everywhere. He opened his eyes to find Luobingha scowling at him.
"Don't say such things. Is Shuzun such a coward that he's giving up?"
Sentingto snatched his hand away, too abruptly. It felt like someone had torn all the tendons from his bones. He held his arm straight, forcing himself to stretch against the pain as the muscles spasmed under his skin. The effort left him sweating cold.
If pragmatism is cowardly, then Bing-He is welcome to call me all the names he wants, he said through gritted teeth. Maybe he'd crack bone, but at least he wouldn't bite through his own tongue. At least something could be done to mitigate without a cure. Spiritual energy won't help against the meerkat venom. I can't channel demonic energy, so there's no way for it to dissipate, and the ambient energy in the abyss will only increase it. So the only option is to leave me here and hope I survive until you can return with Xinmu. Perhaps it was optimistic to think that Luo Bing-He would return. But first, Shen Qingqiu had to convince him to leave, just as he'd convinced Qige all those years ago. He excelled at alienating people when he put his mind to it. Maybe he couldn't channel demonic energy, but he was a master at channeling vitriol. Unless you propose to cut off my limbs and stuff me into a pickle jar for ease of carrying. Luo Bing-He jerked back as though struck. If you cut out my tongue, I won't even complain. I wouldn't. Wouldn't you? Shen Qingqiu leaned hard on his words to keep his voice ice slick. Didn't you? Should we keep pretending like the past didn't happen? Why have you even bothered to drag me this far?
I thought you'd...
What? Forgotten? Feared to bring it up? He shivered with a cold and let it curl his lip, mocking. Forgiven you. You don't even believe what you did was wrong.
I do.
Luo Bing-He's ragged shout shattered the blade of cruelty Shen Qingqiu was using to cut him free. This wasn't supposed to happen. Luo Bing-He was supposed to leave him in anger, not fight back.
You don't,
Shen Qingqiu whispered, guilt rising like bile.
You know me better than I know myself. Did the book tell you that too?
Lamplight shimmered off Luo Bing-He's tears. Of course he'd be beautiful, even red-eyed and crying. His chest juddered with long, hitched breath. His voice broke on every word he spoke.
I'm sorry for what I did then, to Shuzun and Ming Shixiong, to my wives and Songxiong sect, to the world. I regretted before I ever came here. I didn't want to become a monster. I only wanted...
His breathing grew too ragged to continue. Wrapping his arms around his middle as though he needed to hold himself together, Luo Bing-He curled in on himself. Not a kowtow begging forgiveness. This was the posture of a creature in pain. Fuck. Shen Qingqiu had done that. Even after all his good intentions, he always managed to hurt Luo Bing-He like nobody else could. Ignoring the ice freezing his limbs, Shen Qingqiu hauled himself upright and crawled closer. He didn't have the strength to pull him into his arms, but he did his best to drape himself around Luo Bing-He.
I'm sorry. I know. I understand.
He whispered into the wild mass of hair barely contained by the braid he wove for Luo Bing-He every morning. The citrus scent of lemongrass was sharp, cutting through the haze of pain and regret.
I was only being cruel to...
He choked on the excuse. How many excuses had he made for himself in the past?
Bing-He should know. He was forgiven long ago.
Sobs quieting under the blanket of Shen Qingqiu, Luo Bing-He said,
I don't deserve it.
Then it's convenient that such things aren't up to you. I get to choose who I forgive.
You might, but fate hasn't.
He shook with another sob.
Why did I have to come back? Why did I have to come back here?
I don't know. But at least I'm here with you. Luo Bing-He's arms crept around his back, doe-shy and tense to recoil.
Then stay with me. Don't make me go through this alone.
Sighing, Shen Qingqiu patted Luo Bing-He's head and resigned himself to being clutched at like a human ragdoll. If he didn't move too much, the pain of the meerkat venom remained at a dull, manageable ache under a sheet of ice. They remained that way until Shen Qingqiu's limbs felt heavy and his heart perhaps a little lighter,
until the warmth of Luobingha's clinging wasn't enough to counteract the creeping cold beneath the venom's burn. They'd said a lot, but it hadn't really resolved the problem. Shen Qingqiu couldn't go forward on his own, and not even Luobingha was strong enough to carry him. He tucked a stray hair into the braid. "I don't want to be left behind, believe me, but I don't see another way." Luobingha tensed, then said softly, "I do." Shen Qingqiu shoved at Luobingha's shoulder. "Don't you dare suggest... no." Catching him before he could scuttle to the far side of the hollow, Luobingha said, "I don't mean what I suggested before, but you wouldn't like this idea any better." "What is it?" Shen Qingqiu snapped, because now that the subject had come up again, part of him, a very small, shameful, cowardly part, was considering it. He needed Luobingha to offer an alternative before he said yes. Releasing him, Luobingha scooted back and gave him a respectful bow that was ridiculous given their surroundings and what they'd gone through together through multiple lifetimes. "This one's blood parasites thrive on demonic energy," he said. "If Shuzun is willing, they could be used to absorb the venom and channel it to keep him healthy until we escape." "You're suggesting I drink your blood?" Shen Qingqiu stifled a brief and inexplicable surge of disappointment. This was a much more reasonable solution, even if it wouldn't be as pleasant. Luobingha bowed his head. "This one knows that Shuzun would not usually choose to sully himself with..." "All right." "Eh?" Half rising, Luobingha cocked his head like a confused dog. "I said yes," Shen Qingqiu said, carefully not examining why he'd given in so easily. He wanted to live, to escape this place. The blood parasites might make that possible. That was the only reason. "It didn't occur to me that your blood could be used like this, but it makes sense." Expelling a breath like he'd been punched, Bingha said, "The damage to Shuzun's meridians and body is extensive. It would have to be more than a few drops. If Bingha can spare it, this master will accept it. How should we..." He cast a glance around the burrow, impossible to build a fire here unless he wanted to die of smoke inhalation, and they didn't have much food left to cook. So much for a warm bowl of conti to make the blood medicine go down. What was the point of getting stuck in wife plots if he couldn't enjoy the benefits? His resigned humor hit a wall when he remembered how the blood had been forced on him in their last life. No, not like that, either. He wasn't certain he could hold himself together if Luobingha simply shoved his fingers in Shen Qingqiu's mouth. Watching him warily, Luobingha crawled to the wall and sat back against it, indicating the space in front of him. "Perhaps it would be most comfortable like this. That way Shuzun doesn't have to look at this one." "Don't be ridiculous. Why would this master mind looking at Bingha?" Before Luobingha started listing all the reasons they both knew to be true, Shen Qingqiu eased into position. "It's no different than getting my hair combed," he thought, keeping his back stiff and his spine straight so he didn't accidentally brush against the legs at his back. Shuzun is too far for this to be comfortable for either of us." "Then move your damned knees out of the way," Shen Qingqiu snapped, nerves and pain getting the better of him. "Couldn't they just get this over with?" Luobingha parted his legs, sliding them to either side of his hips in an easily escaped cage. Shen Qingqiu only put up a nominal resistance when an arm wrapped around his waist and eased him back to rest against Luobingha's chest. It took forever for Luobingha to unwind the bindings around his wrists. Perhaps he meant to give Shen Qingqiu time to change his mind. The pulse of demonic energy through his meridians started to cycle in time with Luobingha's breathing, each inhalation a flash of heat through his bones, each exhalation the rolling drag of thunder. A sharp nail across the inside of Luobingha's forearm was enough for the blood to well up candy red. "Won't it clot?" Shen Qingqiu whispered, mouth gone dry. He'd had paper cuts longer than that little scrape. He licked his lips and winced at the taste of his own blood in the cracks.
This one can control the flow. Luobingha raised his arm,
but left it hanging, an invitation that Shen Xingqiu could still refuse if he wanted.
This can't be sanitary.
The arm lowered. Luobingha's breath brushed soft at Shen Xingqiu's ear.
If Shuzhen no longer wants...
No. Shen Xingqiu hissed as his voice banged through his head, too loud. Everything was too loud. His breathing, his blood, his fear.
Catching Luobingha's wrist, he raised it to his lips.
No, I want this, he said, and fastened his mouth around the cut. Clearly, he'd been fooled by all the Western vampire media he'd watched and read. He'd half expected some supernatural ecstasy to drag him under, but it was just tangy and a little gross. There was hardly enough blood to wet his dry mouth. Shen Xingqiu gave an experimental suck, trying to draw out a bit more. Luobingha's arm tightened around him. He muffled a groan into Shen Qingqiu's hair. Shen Qingqiu pulled off.
Did that hurt?
No, no. Each word was an unsteady puff of breath. Luobingha's head dropped to his shoulder.
Shuzhen can continue.
Grimacing, Shen Qingqiu latched on again. It wasn't as off-putting this time, now that he knew what to expect. Luobingha's skin was warm under his tongue, as warm as the nose pressed into his neck. He managed to swallow a mouthful that he suspected was mostly spit, and then another, thicker mouthful that was undoubtedly blood, followed by another, and another. Each sip made the next one easier. Finally a loud entry, the warmth burned through him, cracking through the ice and rendering it into steam. Now Shen Xingqiu was the one groaning. He'd used opioids rarely, preferring less addictive forms of pain management. But sometimes, when his condition got really bad, he'd succumbed just to have a few days of relief. This was 10 times better than the strongest oxycodone, driving away the pain and flooding him with a floating lassitude that made him fall in love with the entire world. He released Luobingha's arm, unable to swallow blood or his giggles. Sprawling back, he snuggled against that broad chest like it was a fluffy duvet.
That feels so good, he sighed.
Luobingha made a choked noise that might have been agreement.
No, you don't understand. When everything has hurt for so long that you don't even notice it anymore and then it goes away? There's nothing that feels better than that. My endorphins are releasing endorphins. This one is glad he could help.
Luobingha responded in an oddly muffled voice. Oh, Shen Xingqiu was smothering him with his hair. He rolled his head to the side, letting it rest on Luobingha's shoulder, and stared at the shadowed root system above. It twisted and twined in a dance only understood by the earth. He squirmed a little in response, only for Luobingha's arms to tighten like iron bands holding him in place.
Shuzhen should stay still and rest while the blood continues to heal him.
Ha! Foolish man, he was never moving again. Luobingha made a much better bed than the ground. He snuggled down into blessed relief.
If Bingha doesn't mind... No, Bingha doesn't mind.
Shen Qingqiu matched his breathing to the rise and fall of the chest behind him. The demonic miasma that had choked him like a cloud since his fall was now only a gentle breeze. He let himself float along with the current. Just as he was tipping into sleep, Luobingha stirred.
Shuzhen.
Hmm?
You're awake?
Sighing fondly, Shen Qingqiu patted the arm resting under his hand. If Luobingha needed validation and reassurance, well, wasn't Shen Qingqiu's past cruelty the reason? He was happy now to give it.
What is it, Bingha? Shuzhen should know. I forgive you, too.
Shen Qingqiu's breath caught. Tears prickled behind his eyelids. After a moment's struggle, he gave in and let them slip free.
Thank you.